Show is back, and I'm here with John Clark, musician and telecom professor. And tonight, we're mostly calling on his abilities as a musician because we are talking music, and we're talking about Pete Townsend and his position on AOL Music's list as the number 5 songwriter in the history of rock. Well, we're talking really about the band members of The Who right now, John, and having covered the rhythm section, drums and bass, let's talk about Roger Daltrey and where he ranks in terms of frontmen. I would argue, if you apply this top 5 criteria I've been using, is that Daltrey's one of the 5 best frontmen in rock bands.
Do you think he's one of the 5 best singers?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think Daltrey has a very strong voice.
Well, he does have a strong voice. But this is the one aspect of The Who where we might differ some.
Well, you're a singer yourself, and I sing out of tune, so I'm probably at a disadvantage here.
I know. I've seen you dismay your cats when you start singing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt that Roger Daltrey is one of the greatest frontmen ever. Now, whether or not he's one of the greatest singers ever, I would have to say...
So what would you say are his limitations?
Probably it's in his ability to convey through his voice a really wide range of emotions.
Oh,
I think he just tends to belt it out.
You're saying all he knows how to do is belt it out? Yeah.
For the most part.
Okay, I'm making sure I heard you.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Uh-huh.
And I also believe that that's one of the things that Pete Townsend thought about when he would take a tune to The Who or decide to keep it for himself for a solo project, is if Roger Daltrey had the ability to convey a wide range of emotions.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that he does.
Interesting. Let me say a couple things about that. One is that one of the things I like about Daltrey, and that is different from somebody like Mick Jagger, who I think we'd have to say is the number one frontman in rock. There's just nobody in the same league.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose, otherwise, a lot of bands don't have lead singers. They have a guitarist that sings or something. And so, who else would you put in the top 5 of lead singers?
Who simply do nothing but sing?
I guess I'd limit it to that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see. Freddie Mercury comes to mind.
Uh-huh. Right?
Robert Plant.
Yes, Led Zeppelin's Robert Plant, and you'd have to say from a next generation, Bono.
Yes, that's true.
He's might be number 2 behind Jagger.
Right.
But, well, see, I think Daltrey compares very favorably to Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin.
What would you think about Rod Stewart?
I don't take Rod Stewart that seriously.
Even from his days with the Small Faces?
Well, in part, he never had just one band. He ended up going out on his own and bringing along studio musicians, or, you know, surrounding himself with people. He became the star. Even Mick Jagger didn't end up trying to call the band Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones.
Well, that's true.
So I think there's something to stay within the confines of a band. But
I was saying, though, I look back on his days with the Small Faces and later the Faces, when they really were a band with a lead singer. I think, you know, that Gasoline Alley stuff is great.
Well,
but you're right. Later on, he became a solo artist and played with whoever he could hire to play.
And he kicks a mean soccer ball. I watched him kick 15 soccer balls off a stage in an arena 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I never took him as seriously. But you're right; he's in that vein, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me go back to what you said about Daltrey.
Okay.
One of the things I like about Roger Daltrey is that Townsend does have different kinds of songs. So, The Who started as this brash, noisy, loud, arrogant group of people or group of kids, and they moved on to be able to sing more adult kinds of things as they got older. And so the album Quadrophenia ends with the song Love Rain Over Me.
Yeah.
And Roger Daltrey can sing anywhere, anyway, anyhow from 65, you know, nothing gets in my way, not even locked doors. This brash young kid punk stuff. And then he can also sing songs that basically talk about vulnerability or talk about more than sex and drugs and rock and roll. And admittedly, he screams in that song. So that you're right, Townsend writes the songs for his voice, but so you wouldn't call that vocal range, but when you say he doesn't convey emotion, he may not change as much.
I didn't say he doesn't convey emotion.
Okay.
I say he doesn't convey a wide range of emotions.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, what I would say is that he takes on different personas. Now, one of the other interesting things about The Who that I notice more than I notice in other bands is that there are certain songs that Pete Townsend always sings in concert. Now, he wrote all the lyrics, but most of them Daltrey delivers. And things like Behind Blue Eyes are really about Townsend, but it's perfectly appropriate for Daltrey to sing it. But there are some songs that Townsend always sings, or some lyrics that Townsend always sings.
Well, you mentioned it before.
See Me, Feel Me.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I think
that particular part of the song, he sings it himself.
I think Daltrey might have sung that with him at that concert. But
certainly the song you mentioned, Love Rain Over Me, that Pete Townsend couldn't sing that.
That's probably true.
The way that Roger Daltrey does.
That's right. That is absolutely right.
This doesn't have the pipes for it.
But a song like Drowned or I'm One from the Quadrophenia album, Townsend sings those. And certain lyrics, in the middle of Teenage Wasteland, Daltrey sings Baba O'Reilly, Teenage Wasteland, almost in its entirety, but Townsend sings a certain verse of that, you know. So there's definitely a division based on what the content is and how autobiographical I think it is. But in general, I've always liked Roger Daltrey's voice, and I think it's perfect for The Who.
Well, there's no doubt he's a great singer, but I think that his claim to fame, as you mentioned, is that he's a great front man.
That's right.
A muscular, dynamic guy. I just was knocked out one time. I didn't see this live, but and you probably know the song, because I can't recall it to mind.
I know what you're going to say. It was, Who Are You?
He runs. In place.
In a tour that they did back in about 89, yes, it was 89, they did all of Tommy in the first half of the show, and they did Greatest Hits in the second half, an hour and a half each set. And when they did Who Are You, he ran in place, and that's a long song. That's a 5 or 6 minute song.
Yeah.
And he ran in place and sang all the way through it. Yeah, he was in great shape on that tour.
Well, he's still in great shape.
Yeah, he is, actually. These guys are all pushing 60, or are 60. And, of course, he was the good-looking guy in the band. That's what's in part what we mean by a front man, right, is the sex symbol.
He was and not only that. I mean, who else have you ever seen who plays with a mic stand and a mic and the mic cord like he does?
Well, in fact, I was going to say that every other front man has gone to cordless mic. Jagger carries a cordless mic because he can tuck it in his pants and clap his hands over his head. Roger Daltrey is never going to give up the mic cord because he swings it like a lasso.
Oh, I've seen him. Well, you have too. When he's got 20 feet of mic cord out and swinging the thing above his head. And it's so interesting. They always take care of him too, because if you'll notice his microphone, where the mic cable joins the microphone, there's going to be about 2 feet of duct tape wrapped around it, all the way from the mic, you know, to about a foot and a half down the cord, to keep the thing working while he does all that.
Right, that makes sense, yeah. Well, the other thing that's worth mentioning at this point, I think, about the Who's live act is that not only do they generate energy on stage at a level that I had never seen any band do, and I mean in the music itself, it was so electric, so loud, but also just it would sound discordant, then all of a sudden they, just when you think they're going to descend into anarchy, they bring it back to the beat, and just an amazing ability to produce live sound. But also the visual stimulation on stage, here is Roger Daltrey swinging his microphone when he's not singing.
And running back and forth.
And running around, right? Here's Pete Townsend swinging his arm to slash his guitar with power chords, jumping up in the air, and as the bass crashes and the drums crash and he hits a power chord, his feet hit the ground, and it makes it sound like his feet are thundering on the stage. And meanwhile, Keith Moon is going through all his antics, and he did a whole variety of things behind the drum kit, including kicking them over at the end of many concerts I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So that the visual appearance of The Who on stage was this, just a wild scene.
I always wondered if Pete Townsend couldn't really have been a hurdler or an athlete of some kind, because he could clear 4 feet straight up and down.
Well, I don't disagree. He was quite athletic. And in the old days, when I used to see him in the 70s, he used to wear this jumpsuit in concert. In part, I think it was functional, but also I think it was a way to eschew the fashion of the times and get away from this whole idea of dressing up. But he would wear a jumpsuit, essentially, that zipped up the front, and big work boots. And part of his trick was that he would, when he jumped, he would pick his feet up and put them under his butt so that it looked like he jumped higher than he did. But he still... The idea that you could play guitar while doing all this was pretty amazing. And it was about show. You know, he originally said that how this all started was by accident. And we haven't even mentioned this, but Pete Townsend also pioneered the art of destroying your guitar on stage.
Yeah, that's right. I was reading a little bit about that. And it started as an accident. He was playing, they were playing in a club that had a low ceiling, and he did a big jump, and it hit his guitar against the ceiling and broke the neck off. And the crowd just went wild for some reason, perverse reason. But then the thing that I was reading said that he later on very intentionally smashed his guitar, in a fit of rage. And his amplifiers, for that matter, in simulation of a painter named Gustav Metzger, who pioneered auto-destructive art. And Townsend apparently was a fan of this guy, and intentionally tried to convey this, now we're done, right? We've played, and now we're done, and it's over, and we destroy it. It's not lasting. It was in the moment.
Well, it's funny you say that, because a couple things occurred to me. So just to finish the story about the first time, what happened was after he smashed the guitar on the ceiling and damaged it, he was so pissed that he took it and banged it on the stage a few times because it was worthless anymore, and he was upset. And the reaction, he was shocked at the reaction of the crowd. They loved it. And that it became a part of the act after that. But someone asked me once when I was trying to explain to them my fascination with The Who, they said, aren't they the band that smashed their instruments? Isn't he the guy that smashed his guitar? I mean, to them, that was crazy. And I said, well,
sacrilege.
I said, I have to tell you that I've seen Who concerts where when they smashed their instruments, it struck me that that was the only way the show could end.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, reflecting what you were just saying. And of course, Pete Townsend also wrote a great song. He's influenced by an Eastern master by the name of Meher Baba, and a lifelong affiliation with Eastern philosophy that has influenced his writing in many ways from Tommy on down. And the song "Let's See Action." You know, the verses, let's see, the chorus is, let's see action, let's see people, let's see freedom, let's see who cares. But the line goes, the name of the song is Nothing is Everything, which is very Buddhist.
Yeah.
And the lyric in the center is, please the people, audiences, break the fences, nothing is. So it's kind of this notion that material objects don't matter as well. Although I think he got a lot of fun out of it, too. That was the main thing.
Well, he probably did, but I also, you know, it's funny. Some people are absolutely intent on preserving what they've done and collecting memorabilia and recording their shows and all that kind of thing. And I never was. I always tended to view our performances, you know, in a much more limited way than the Who's, as strictly something that was of the moment. You know, I'm not particularly concerned with preserving what happened. It just did then, and it was, and then it was over.
Well, and of course,
you know, I always thought that's the attitude that Pete Townsend took about.
Well, I agree, and of course, the nature of music is so different from art or literature. It is transitory because it's time-based, and so you can record it. But if it's live, you know, people expect
it's nothing like the experience of being there.
Joni Mitchell once said in concert, when somebody yelled out for her to play a certain song, she said, "You know, I always thought that was interesting about performance arts." She said, "Nobody ever said to Van Gogh, 'Paint a Starry Night again.'"
Right.
So that is one of the differences with music. Well, John, let's take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about who's next.
Okay.
That's going to do it for part one of our conversation about Pete Townsend as the fifth greatest songwriter in the history of rock. And when we come back next week, I'm going to finish my conversation with John Clark about Pete, and we'll have more conversation about politics and a variety of other things next week. Until then, you've been listening to The Andy Finn Show on the Andy Finn Network at andyfinn.us. And until then, remember, do it, don't doubt it.